So, John chapter 7 and verse 37. Rivers of living water. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I think reading that verse, together with our previous reading in Acts chapter 2, and particularly towards the end of chapter 2, the things that happen after those people are added to the church, as it says, those 3,000 people were converted, I think these two things together will bring some help to our souls this morning. That's my prayer. In Acts chapter 2, the thrust or the focus is a corporate one, a group experience. There were 12 apostles. You remember Judas had been replaced by Matthias. And probably it was more than just the 12. It probably was included at least 120. Those that were the believers, those early believers, were filled in an incredible way by the Holy Spirit. The first time God's Spirit came in that way, empowering them to speak the word of God. And if you go through Acts, you'll find that that's often what happens. There's a fresh anointing of God's Spirit to equip the people to go out and proclaim the gospel message. 3,000 people on that first day were convicted by the Spirit, were converted. We use that word to mean repented and had faith. They were baptized that day, and they were added to the church that day. And then we read in Acts chapter 2 in the verses 42 to 47 about that new group and their life. This corporate work of God amongst God's people brought them to devote themselves to the things that were most important to them. The apostles' teaching, which we've now got in the Bible, the fellowship, the communication and the love being expressed with other believers, the breaking of bread, which I think there is referring to the Lord's Supper or communion, and to prayer. These were the things that were the most important to them. We also find in that passage that the apostles were doing miraculous signs. They were caring for one another in an incredible way, considering their own possessions as not their own, and being willing to sell things and to give to the poor, and making sure that there was not one that was needy among them. It says that they shared together and had glad and generous hearts. This is becoming just a wonderful picture of what the church should be, isn't it? They were praising God, and they had favour with all the people, even the people outside the church. They could see there was something attractive about this early group of disciples. And we read at the end of that little passage, in verse 47 of chapter 2, that they were being added. The Lord was adding daily to their number. What a wonderful thing. Here's a picture of a church, surely, that we long to be. A church devoted to those things, experiencing those things, being attractive to other people, and seeing the Lord adding to the number day after day. And I want to hold on to that vision. This is what God wants us to be like here in Loftus. And after we've been on holiday, I'm here next week, but we're going to be away for a few weeks. When we come back, I'm going to think a bit about the vision for the church, what God wants us to be here in Loftus. And we will touch on that a bit this morning. We already have, and we will touch on it a bit later. But my focus really is going to be a bit more personal, and that's where I think this John chapter 7 comes in. You see, the church becomes what the church should be when we become what we should be. The church is not going to suddenly become what the New Testament church was unless we also become what we should be individually. If we want to be a growing, attractive, praising, joyful, generous, caring church, then we need to see the work of God's Spirit, not just as a whole in the church, but in our individual lives. To become that church that God wants us to be, it starts with me and it starts with you. And the simple formula for seeing that happen is laid out for us here in chapter 7 of John. I'm going to ask you three questions from that chapter. The first one is, are you thirsty? Have you ever been really, really thirsty? Really thirsty. I don't just mean like when you're sitting there on a Sunday and you're thinking, God, I'm dying for a cuppa. Wonder when he's going to shut up. I don't mean that sort of, I mean really thirsty. You mean you're out, perhaps on a hike, or you're out. I remember one experience I had as a young man was we went to Portugal and we played golf occasionally, and while we were out there, we were near a golf course, and I played golf with my dad, and we didn't take enough drink. And out on the course, it was absolutely baking hot. My head started to hurt. You know, it sort of goes tight, and you just start feeling sick. You're just desperate for a drink. You realise that if you carried on like that for very long, it would actually be harmful to your body. And it was on the last and greatest day of the festival that Jesus stood up, and of course, in a hot country, they knew that sort of feeling. And he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. What's he talking about? What is, surely he's not talking about water. No, he's not. He's talking about, have you got a thirst for knowing God? Have you got a thirst to live in a right way that pleases God? To make the right moral choices, to doing the right thing, to know how to behave towards your spouse and your children and your parents, how to think about your future. Have you got a thirst for living right, to be righteous? Have you got a thirst to be clean of those past sins? When you look back at your life and you think of those things, that perhaps even this morning you can look back and see things that you know you've done wrong. Have you got a thirst to get that dealt with? Have you got a thirst to understand what life is about? To find some purpose for your existence? Have you got a thirst to see the light at the end of the tunnel? Perhaps you feel that everything at the moment is a bit dark and you need some light at the end of the tunnel. You need some hope, in other words. Have you got a thirst for real, true, permanent, living hope? Have you got a thirst about eternity, at the afterlife, heaven? Have you got a thirst to know what's it all about? Perhaps you've seen people around you. Perhaps you hear the news, like this morning, that there's a man with terminal cancer and he doesn't know Christ. And you've got a real thirst to know answers about what's beyond death. Have you got a thirst to know the reality of Christ's power in your life today? These are questions, you know, that apply to whether you're a Christian or not this morning. Whether you have already given your life to Christ or not. Because these are relevant to us. Have you got a desire? Those of you that are Christians, have you got a desire to see the power of God at work in your lives in a new way? Or are you just content with how things have always been? Have you got a real desire to bring God glory in your life? Are you thirsty for these things? Are you thirsty? Let's just go back to the corporate thing a moment. Are you thirsty to see the glory of Jesus shine out from this church, attracting people, going out with the gospel message, and seeing God use us to change Loftus? That's what he meant when he said, are you thirsty? If you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Are you thirsty for any of those sorts of things? Do you see your deep need for God this morning? Whether you've come and you don't really understand this stuff about Jesus, or whether you come and you've been a Christian for 100 years like Jim, or, you know, is it nearly 100? Maybe. Yeah. However long you've not, have you still got a hunger? Have you still got a thirst for the things of God? To know more of him? To live rightly before him? Have you got a hunger to see his power at work? You see, that is the very first thing. If we are to see God at work by his Spirit in our lives, it starts with a thirst. It starts with a thirst. Jesus said in his Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." They will be satisfied. You know, it's a really good thing to come to church thirsty. Come to church thirsty for God. So are you thirsty? Second question, will you come to Jesus and drink? It's not very complicated this morning, but I assure you it's the very basis of each one of our lives. The most important thing, will you come to Jesus and drink? If you're thirsty, then you've fulfilled the first part of your eligibility, a condition. Soul thirst this morning makes you eligible, but there's another condition. If you want to see and feel what's coming, if you want to be full of God's Spirit so it overflows in your life, that's not the only thing you need to do, is to feel thirsty. You need to come to Jesus and drink. What an astounding thing that was for Jesus to say. Just think about it for a moment. What an astounding thing. I mean, it'd be quite an amazing thing just on the physical sense, wouldn't it? If I stood in the middle of Loftus on a Saturday night and I said, stood in the street and said, "Is any of you thirsty? Golden Lion's behind me. Come to me and I'll give you a drink." You know, I'd think there'd be quite a crowd. It would be quite costly. But here's this man, God's son, who says, if you've got thirst in your soul, if you've got an eternal longing for answers, if you want to see God at work in your life in a new way, come to me and I'll satisfy your desire. What an incredible thing for someone to say. Jesus is the only place to go if you want to be deeply, spiritually satisfied. And so wherever you are on your spiritual walk, hear the invitation to you this morning. The invitation is to every single one of us. There's no one here that can say, "Well, that's not for me this morning." There's an invitation to each one of us to come to Jesus and be satisfied. To come to him in our thirst and to know that thirst quenched. We're going to meet with him. You say, "Well, how do I come to him?" Well, we meet with him in the Bible. We meet with him in prayer. We meet with him when we meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is where we meet with him. We meet with him when we meet together in house group. We meet with him when we sit with our Bibles at home and read his word. We meet with him when we come before him in prayer. We need to stop looking for satisfaction. We need to stop looking for our thirst being quenched in any other place. Come to him and find hope and purpose and forgiveness and joy. Come to him and find power to serve. Too many of us continue, do we not, to try and find a satisfaction for our thirst in other places. Now, many of you have met our mad dog, Millie. She's a sort of a puppy, but she's a big puppy. She's 9 months old and she's a bit crazy. And when you're in the woods, one of the things I've noticed that she does that's a bit odd is we're walking next to a river. But in the thick, gloopy mud, as she's running along, if she feels thirsty, she just bends down and drinks from like a foot imprint in the mud. Where it's like all gloopy brown mud. And she's just like, I'm thinking there's a lovely river down there. Why don't you go and drink out the fresh water? And instead she's drinking out of gloopy, mucky, muddy water. You know, that's a bit what sometimes we're like. We have a deep, deep thirst. And the only place it's going to be satisfied is in the refreshing water that comes through Christ, his Spirit. And we start munching around in the gloop trying to find some satisfaction for our souls. Let me be a bit more blunt. Some of us are tempted to try and quench our spiritual thirst with alcohol. Or we're tempted to try and quench our spiritual thirst with shopping. or we're trying to quench our spiritual thirst with possessions or pornography. Or perhaps if you're kids, there's some great toy that you think is going to be the great answer for you, or a new phone, or the latest game, or the new PlayStation. Or perhaps it's your reputation, or your job, or your family, and you're pouring yourself into it because you think it's going to bring you satisfaction and answer that great thirst of your soul. But it's just like gloopy brown water. And it'll do you more harm than good. And some of those things aren't bad, are they? Some of them are bad, but some of them aren't. But if we seek, for example, our great satisfaction in life in our family, God's given us families. It's a great gift. But we won't find real answers for our soul unless we turn to Christ. We need to look to Him this morning. So if you want to see the blessings that are going to be explained in a minute, this water of river that's going to flow, a living water that's going to flow out of your life, if you want to feel and know that power of God at work by His Spirit, there's two conditions. You need to be thirsty, and you need to come to Jesus and drink. Your sustenance is going to come from no one and nothing else. So last question. So are you thirsty? Will you come to Jesus and drink? And the last question I want to ask you is, are your rivers flowing? The promise is completed. Here's the verse 38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, so that's what it means to come to Jesus and drink, is believing in him. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So here's the picture. I want to just paint a little picture. Kids, can you get this as well? A hose. You know what a hose is, yeah? A hose is no good unless it's attached to the tap. And when you turn the tap on, it goes through the hose and squirts out the other end and is a blessing to the plants that you're watering. So we're a hose. And God is saying, you're not much use. You're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be doing your job. You're not going to find a purpose in life until you attach yourself to the tap, which is Jesus. And from him is going to come life-giving water that's going to flow through you. It'll be a great blessing to you because that's what you were made for. But it's also going to be a great blessing to other people. And it's going to squirt out the other end and be watering the plants. So it's going to be a blessing to others. It's going to deliver. You're going to deliver the life-giving spirit from Jesus through your life to the lives of people around you. When we come to Jesus, he satisfies us, and through his Spirit, he helps us to flourish. We begin to know God better. We begin to see our sin. We begin to understand what it is to be convicted. We repent. We find forgiveness. We understand our purpose. We understand the hope that is set before us. We're able to face life's challenges, the things that seem to get on top of us. Through God's Spirit, we're able to meet and to know those things and still know the joy and deep contentment of God. But that's not the end result. Just that we find satisfaction. The end result is that the rivers, these rivers of living water, flow from us and out to others. And that's what we saw clearly at the end of Acts. Acts chapter 2. That the Spirit of the living God was at work in these early disciples, and in the way that they then started to behave, it was evident. And then the fact that they were attractive to the people outside was evident. And then we saw daily those were being saved who the Lord had worked in. I wonder if there's evidence in your life today that those rivers are flowing. If you're someone who's trusted in Christ, if you're longing and yearning for his Spirit, if you're thirsty, if you're coming to Jesus, those rivers of life should begin to be flowing. And it might seem that it's quite small. It might seem a bit insignificant, but there should be evidence in our lives that the Spirit of the living God is not just satisfying and bringing us contentment, but it's beginning to touch other people's lives. There's an impact in our lives and in others. What are some of those evidences? Well, it starts with our being devoted to the Bible, to being devoted to the teaching of the apostles. It starts with a love of fellowship, being with God's people. It starts with wanting to break bread together in communion. It starts with wanting to pray. It starts with a new sense of caring for one another, a sense of identity as God's people. It starts with wanting to meet. They met daily, it says. It wasn't just the Sunday service. This was life was about sharing with God's people. They ate together. There was a gladness, a generosity of spirit. There was a praising. There was an attraction to others. And it started to reach out to people that weren't currently Christians coming to know Christ. I wonder this morning what stage you're at. Because that's like a stage, isn't it? It's just like three simple stages. And however you want to see it this morning, whether you're someone who's not a Christian and you're needing to start the journey, are you thirsty? Or if you are a Christian, are you thirsty for more? Are you thirsty for right living? That's the first part, feeling thirsty. Asking Jesus that you could see your need. If that's you this morning, you might even be before that. You might be here, I don't know, under duress. I hope there's no one under duress. But you might be kids. You've been brought along by your parents. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty for God? Do you want to know more of God? Do you want to live for Him? Not just see Him do it in your parents. Do you want to see God at work in your life? If you haven't got a thirst, then ask God to give you a thirst. You remember what we read to the children in Luke chapter 11? Come to Him, ask, knock, seek, and you'll find. These are good things. He's not going to suddenly give you a snake or a scorpion. If you're asking for the Holy Spirit, if you're asking for a thirst for spiritual things, then God will give you that thirst. Or perhaps if you are thirsty, are you seeking in the right places? Are you coming to Him for salvation? Are you coming to Him to be re-rescued? Are you coming to Him to grow? Are you coming to Him to be satisfied? And then lastly, are you flourishing? Are you seeing those rivers begin to flow from you to others, that you might be used by God to touch other people's lives with the power of His Spirit? My prayer is this morning, as we just consider this great gift of God's Holy Spirit, is that we might know what it is to thirst Him, what it is to come to Jesus to be filled, and what it is to see and feel the Spirit, the living water, flowing through us and out ministering to others. Let's pray.